Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
I hope the words of that song resonate with you this morning. I hope they reach into the depths of who you are and speak to your soul. Fear not, God says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire, I will see you through, for you belong to me, says the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much. We do not deserve anything we just heard. And yet, Lord, in your graciousness, in your mercy, in your kindness, you give it to us freely. Lord, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you call us your own. You have bought us with a price, and that price was the life of your only begotten Son, crucified, that we might be forgiven, made clean, and set free. But Lord, we're thankful that he arose from the grave the third day and that he lives today. And so we gather to give you honor, Almighty God, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to say thank you, for we have much for which to be thankful. Speak to our hearts through your word and by your spirit. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. We ask it trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 8, and if you're in the red pew Bible in front of you, that is page 347. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But I just kind of want us to talk on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. So excited about what God has done and about what God is doing among us. And this week, you're going to get together with family and friends and loved ones, and you're going to celebrate a holiday that many of us look forward to all year long. And you're going to eat turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and all the things that are great about this time of the year. You're going to gather with friends and loved ones that maybe you don't get to see all the time. And you're going to remember stories and you're going to laugh. And then for some of us, Thanksgiving is going to present some difficulties dealing with realities of adjusting to a new normal, a normal that we didn't want to adjust to this year. But recognizing that through it all, God has been present. And through it all, God has been faithful. And so it is going to be one of those times where we celebrate the joy of the Lord. And sometimes the joy of the Lord looks like an exuberant smile. And sometimes the joy of the Lord looks like a gentle yet firm trust that carries us through difficult moments. But nevertheless, I want to give you this theme today. We have so much for which to be thankful. Amen. I mean, we really do. We have so much for which to be thankful. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we realize that our gratitude is due Almighty God. None of this happens by chance. God is faithful, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so in our worldview that is shaped by the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is shaped by the reality of a God over the cosmos who is also God over us, we recognize that it's not just a day to reflect in gratitude for what the universe has provided, but it's a day to reflect in gratitude specifically to our God, our Father, who gave his only Son that we might be called his children in Jesus Christ. Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the ark has been brought home to Jerusalem. And if you want to see part of this story, you can look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, and this is what happens just before God establishes his covenant with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. But in 1 Chronicles 16, we get a different account of the same event, and the ark is brought home, and it is placed in the tent that David has constructed for it in Jerusalem, and it's time to celebrate. And yet again, the people of God recognize that when it's time to celebrate, there is one entity to thank in particular, And so David, you might have known this about him, he's good at writing songs. And he gives a song here, a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving. And I believe that God wants you and me to remember to count our blessings. Like the old hymn says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, this Thanksgiving week, I believe God wants to help us learn how to count our blessings. Look with me at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. David writes, David sings, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." The first point I want to give you this morning is this: give thanks to the Lord, for he has done great things for you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he has done great things for you. I want you to see what David is recounting and what David is recalling throughout the scope of this song. He is going back to the beginning of their faith when God went and called a pagan man named Abram. And he said, "You follow me and I'll make you the father of many nations. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and through you all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." He is recounting that God gave Abram and his wife Sarah, age 190, a miracle baby named Isaac. He is recounting that God delivered his people from famine by bringing them into Egypt through Joseph, who suffered but then was placed right where God wanted him to be. And through Joseph, not only were the people of God blessed, but the people of the world were blessed. He was the God who delivered them from slavery by sending into Egypt to get them a baby who should have been killed following the Pharaoh's decree. But a baby whose midwives and whose mama loved him too much to kill him for their convenience and intervened at the very price of their own life, potentially. This baby who grew up and at age 40 became a fugitive from justice, and then for the next 40 years watched sheep in the wilderness, and then at age 80 he saw on the side of a mountain a bush that was burning but not consumed, and through the bush that was burning and not consumed, God spoke to Moses and sent him in. He said, "I have heard the cries of my people. Go get them." And so Moses went with Aaron, and through them, God, by his outstretched arm, by his mighty hand, brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And when Egypt pursued them and they were between a sea and a hard place, God made a way through the waters. He caused the Red Sea to split where they passed through on dry ground. And then as their pursuers pursued them, the waters fell in upon them. God made a way. God brought for them water from a rock. God gave them manna and quail to nourish and sustain them. God brought them into the land that he had sworn to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And God gave them the conquest of the land, and God brought them to rest. Remember, David sings, the great things that God has done. I want us to remember the great things that God has done for us, because sometimes we forget. Does that ever happen to you? Sometimes it happens to me. I get so caught up in what's right in front of my face that I forget all the things that God has done. God knit you together inside your mother's womb. You were made on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose was that you would know and love and glorify God by the way that you would live your life. God brought you into this world that he created in part for you to enjoy and to see the radiant splendor of his glory so that you can look around and say, wow, God's big, God's great, God is majestic, and look at this wonder that he has put me in. God protected you and guided you along the way. If you want this Thanksgiving to remember that you have many things for which to be thankful, just go back to your birth and recount. Fact, you can even go back to those who brought you into the world and your lineage and just look at the way that God's hand has been evident in the lives of your great-grandparents, in the lives of your grandparents, in the lives of your parents, and now in your life. God has been faithful. We sang it today. God revealed himself to you through the world around you. God pursued you by his Holy Spirit to redeem you. You didn't wake up one day and decide that you would go looking for God. No, God came looking for you. And then all the other stuff. Do you realize that if God had stopped there, that's more than enough? If God had stopped there, he's already done more than he ought to have done, but he didn't stop there. Think about all the other things that he's done for you. Give thanks, for the Lord your God has done great things for you. Well, now look at verse 14. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Number two, give thanks to the Lord, for he has kept his promises to you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he has kept his promises for you. There were a lot of promises bound up in everything we just went through. Remember, God came to Abram, and he made him a promise. He said, your descendants will outnumber the stars. Your descendants will outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. I will give to you this land in which my people will dwell. God made a promise to Abraham that extended on to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to Joseph as God carried his people into Egypt. God made a promise that he remembered at the time of Moses, and God made a promise that he delivered through the time of Joshua. And then we came into the time of the judges, the Wild West period in the life of Israel, when everybody just did what was right in their own sight. And we saw that when human beings just do what is right in their own sight, it doesn't end well. Incidentally, we're still seeing that in 2019. Just because it seems right to us doesn't mean it is right. In fact, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. Through the period of the judges, we saw Ruth, who met Boaz, and they had Obed, who became the father of Jesse, who became the father of many strong young men. But then there was the little runt, the young one that didn't even come to the king anointing party. He was just out watching the sheep, because there's no way that one's going to be the king. And it turned out that one was the king. And that one was the one who would bring the ark into its rightful place in Jerusalem. And that one was the one who would dance before the Lord with all of his might, praising God for all he had done. And that one is the one who's written this song. Well, God promised Abraham the impossible. He promised Abraham the impossible, that he would give him that promise. It didn't make sense, because he didn't have any kids, and how do you become the father of many nations if you're not even the father of one person? But God came through. God delivered to David the improbable. His presence. His presence among them. That's what the ark represented, was the presence of God. That was the mercy seat where God would come down to dwell with his people. There was no reason that God should come and visit with his people, and yet that's exactly what he did. God delivered through David the unthinkable. For David's line would continue on. Not only would it come through Ruth and Boaz and Obed and Jesse and David, but it would continue on. So that about a millennium later, in a little town of Bethlehem, Emmanuel would come. God with us. No longer did we have to look at a temple and a mercy seat of a ark, but now in human flesh, the glory of the Lord was given. God kept his promises, and his promise continues to this day through Jesus Christ. Well, what about you? God's promised you the impossible. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and he made you alive in Jesus Christ. It's impossible for something that is dead to be brought to life, but God did that for you. The Bible says you and I were spiritually dead, and God brought us to life through his Son. God has delivered to you the improbable. The Bible says very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but nobody's going to die for a sinner. And yet, while you and I were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God will deliver to you the unthinkable. As you might have heard it put lately, when you get to heaven's gates, you don't have to peek over. They'll open for you, and you'll be welcomed in. You'll be welcomed into the presence of your God, and you will be welcomed into the presence of his glory forevermore. God has kept his promise. And I want to tell you something. He will keep his promise. Now, I know there are preachers out there who tell you that if you would give your life to Jesus Christ, everything will be easy, life will be great, you will never be sick, you will never struggle, you will never have any financial struggles. That is not true. I want you to hear me, okay? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And he said that to the 12 guys who had left everything to follow him. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he followed it up with, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's in John 16:33. So take heart, for our Lord has overcome the world and its struggles. God has been faithful. Verse 19. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Number three, give thanks to the Lord, for he has protected you. There's a psalm of David that I want you to hear in its entirety this morning. It's Psalm 34. And as you hear it, you may not write down that notation, or you can turn there and read along if you want to, but as you hear it, let it wash over you. David wrote as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Lord is our strong tower. He's the shelter over us. We seek Him for refuge, and He covers us with His wings. How's the Lord protected you from suffering? How's the Lord protected you in suffering? And we talked about on Wednesday night the importance of giving thanks to God, the importance of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done." And there may be a reality you're facing right now that your heart just won't let you honestly thank God for it. That's okay. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, not give thanks for all circumstances, but give thanks in all circumstances. So you may be facing something right now that your heart just won't let you say, "Thank you, God, for this," but your heart ought to allow you to say, "I will thank you, God, in this." This is where we cultivate the discipline of looking for God's hand in the midst of whatever circumstance we're in. We look for evidence of His movement. And I'll tell you something, if you'll look, it's there. In fact, if you will look for the evidence of His grace, His mercy, and His movement, no matter what situation you're in, you will be overwhelmed with the ways in which He is blessing you, even in the midst of the struggle. God has been faithful. And I want to tell you something. From my perspective, as I walk with people in the highest of their highs and in the lowest of their lows, one of the joys that accompanies pain, I know this is going to sound so counterintuitive, but it's real. One of the joys that accompanies pain is you and I become much more attuned to the reality of God's presence. We become much more grateful for the little things that really aren't so little after all. We become much more sensitive to the ways in which God is taking care of us, the little things that He's doing, the people that He's bringing around us. We become much more sensitive to the profundity of His movement and perhaps thanking Him again for things we stopped thanking Him for along the way because we forgot what a blessing they really were. God is faithful, and God protects, and God provides. Verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Number 4, give thanks to the Lord, for His matchless glory surrounds you. Give thanks to the Lord, for His matchless glory surrounds you. Have you been to the beach lately? I'm not a beach guy. I don't like hot and sweat and sand. And when you're a dad, basically you're a pack mule. I mean, that's why I go to the beach, to carry the stuff, right? My children are growing. They can carry more, but I'm still carrying the stuff. But you know what? Even though the beach is not my favorite place to be, when I'm there, I'm with my favorite people to be with. And I'm able to look and see the glory of the Lord around me, not only in nature, but also in the people that are there with me. That's remarkable. So I don't mind being the pack mule as much. But then we have to go back to the place where we're staying, and there's all these steps, and anyway, get a good workout in. See, it's perspective. I've been out in the woods lately. This is my favorite time of year to be out in the woods in nature, partly because the snakes leave you alone, and I'm not a big fan of snakes. I like that verse where it says they will crush his head. Yeah. Oh, those are good snakes. Maybe for you. I love being out in the woods and just looking around and breathing it in and enjoying the splendor of the glory. You know, God could have made this place a lot uglier than it is. But He loved us enough to show us His glory even through the changing leaves, even through the gentle mist that was falling yesterday. One of the things we do as we go to school in the mornings when I'm taking the kids is if it's raining, we pray and thank God for the rain. And that's a discipline I have to cultivate in my life because if it's raining, that means we can't do other things outside, right? But But God is nourishing the ground through the rain. We need the rain. Our perspective matters. God has surrounded us with His matchless glory. Romans 1:20 says, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." God likes to show off sometimes. And when He does, we need to thank Him for it. Well, now look at verse 28. "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Number 5, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And so this week of Thanksgiving, as you approach Thanksgiving, I think the thing you and I have to be most thankful for is the fact that God loves us. And He really does. He really does. I had somebody tell me, you talk a lot about the fact that God loves us. It's like you're really trying to convince us that God loves us. And I am. Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that He is our good, good Father. He is our shelter. He is our refuge. And He loves for us to flee to Him. Michael Card was doing an interview with Russell Moore the other day that I listened to. I mean, y'all know Michael Card. He went to church here some through his college years at Western Kentucky University. And he said, you know, sometimes I get so distracted because I feel like God must be so disappointed in me. God must be so disappointed in the way that I've lived my life, the way that I've turned out. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. That's exactly what Satan wants you to think, that God looks in a disappointed way at you. No, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God looks at you as His child, and He loves you. Does He like every decision you and I make? Nope. Does He discipline us because He loves us? Yes. But the way that God looks at you in Jesus Christ is that you are His child, and He is your good, good Father, and He will see you through. He will finish the good work that He has begun in you. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, how does God look at me? Well, here's how God looks at you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you so that you might be brought to life in Jesus Christ. So if you have yet to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the arms of God are open to receive you. There's only one way to come to Him. You must come to Him by repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior. But even if you don't know Jesus, I want you to hear God's love for you is to such a degree that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And your sin can be forgiven. And you can be made clean. All you have to do is come to Him. So, the premise of the sermon today is this. We have so much for which to be thankful. Amen. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We're going to have a time of response, and during that time of response, we're going to sing a mashup of "Come, ye thankful people, come and give thanks." And as you prepare your heart to go out and be thankful this week, if you don't yet know Jesus, come. If you've never been baptized, come. If you're ready as a baptized believer to join our church, come. If you just need to pray, come. Come, ye thankful people, come. Let's stand together. Will you stand with me? Father, we love you, and we are truly thankful for you have done great and wondrous things among us. Great and wondrous things for us. Great and wondrous things in us. You have been doing great and wondrous things since before we ever entered the planet, and you will be doing great and wondrous things for all eternity. So now, we respond in gratitude. We respond in praise. We respond by saying yet again, Lord, thank you for all that you have done and are doing. And Lord, if there are any in this room who have yet to give their life to Jesus Christ, may today be the day. If there are any in this room who have yet to step of their own will, by their own decision, into the waters of baptism, may they make that decision today. And as we step into Advent, may they profess Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, at this time of response, I pray that our response all across this room would be one of gratitude, giving thanks to you, for Lord, you are worthy. Lord, we ask that you would move and your will would be done in this place as it is in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. As we sing together, we would invite you to come. Our deacons will be up here. Some of our staff will be up here. If you need to receive Christ, come. If you need to be baptized, come. If you just need to say thank you, Lord, come. But let's sing together.